We turn our attention now to Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. If you'd like to follow along, we have Bibles on the shelves underneath your pews. You're welcome to grab one and to read along with us. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like to have one, we have complimentary Bibles for you in the narthex on the way out. We'll be studying today Luke chapter 2. This is Luke's telling of the first Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all should be registered. This was the first registration when Quintarius, who was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. The word of the Holy One of God. Amen. Just a couple days ago, this Friday night, it was an ordinary evening. We were at a neighborhood shindig, hanging out with some friends, some new friends, drinking a little wine, laughing, having a good time, and all of a sudden, people came inside and they said, "Everybody, outside, quick, you'll never believe what's in the sky." So we rush out, and as you probably know, perhaps you've seen or seen on social media afterwards, the sky was bursting with this giant, incredible blue light. It's an extraordinary thing that was occurring. And of course, none of us knew what was going on. And this extraordinary event demanded an explanation, right? And so people started to offer their thoughts. And first it was the kids. "It's Santa!" And then the adults with only slightly more logical explanations. "Maybe Luke is testing a new military aircraft. Or maybe Luke Air Force Base has shot down an enemy plane. Maybe it's a comet. Or only partly in jest, it could be aliens." So after all of these suggestions were offered up, of course, we found out that it was actually SpaceX Space 10 rocket launch and it was launching into orbit 10 new communication satellites. And after everyone heard that, there was kind of a letdown in the party, right? It's just satellites. So this extraordinary event, it had a rather mundane explanation, a rather weak and meager explanation, so much so that now we're already all over it. We've forgotten all about the satellites, right? Well, today in Luke chapter 2, we pick up by way of contrast with an ordinary event, something that happens every day in all places and times. But this ordinary event has a wondrous explanation. The ordinary event is a birth. It's recorded without much fanfare in Luke chapter 2 in the first several verses. And it's a birth of a baby boy to a family where nothing is quite right. They're engaged, but she's pregnant. And she's due, but they're traveling on the road away from their family and home. And they're in a stable, a manger, a place where things are unsanitary and smelly, where there are animals all around and feces. There's no place for them to bed down. Now, I trust that Mary was an extraordinarily godly young woman, but if she was anything like my wife, she would be ticked. And Joseph would know about it, right? Because here they are, she's about to have her first baby. They're in the stable, they're away from home, nothing is going right. But we pick up in Luke chapter 2 with a good scene. Alas, all's well that ends well. Baby and mom are together, baby's swaddled up, and the family is there full of joy, even in these difficult circumstances about God's blessing to them. So it's an ordinary event. What could be more ordinary than the birth of another baby, right? And yet, as we read on, we read of a marvelous explanation. It happens when there are menial workers in the field in the evening. They're putting down their flocks at night, and all of a sudden, the heavens are broken open. And they see something that's completely unexpected, completely unlike anything they've ever imagined or seen. They don't have any idea what it is they're seeing, right? It's the angel of the Lord. And then hear this, the glory of the Lord is around them. And then something that is perhaps surprising, their response is that they are terrified. Now, let me suggest that if you or I were there that night when the heavens were broken open and the glory of the Lord surrounds these menial laborers tasked with caring for sheep, breaks into their experience, that we would likewise be full of terror. We, largely with Christmas cards, we've been duped into believing the idea with this sentimental Hallmark-type approach that angels are plump and young and that they have wings and sit on clouds and do things like play harps. But of course, if you're familiar with the Bible, that's not at all what we hear in Scripture. In the Bible, what we hear is that whenever anyone sees an angel, they respond in one of two ways. And the first is abject fear and terror. Let me read you an example of that. Matthew chapter 28, at the resurrection of Jesus, an angel comes and rolls back the stone, it said. And then here's the description. His appearance was like lightning. His clothing white as snow. And for him, the guards, these are now trained elite Roman soldiers, they trembled for fear of him and became like dead men. Fall to the ground in abject fear at something so mighty and glorious. And the words, as lacking as they are, this description of these angelic beings, is that his appearance was like lightning. And they're full of dread of him. Second response that people have to angels in the Bible is not fear, but worship. So in Revelation chapter 19, John, in his vision of the heavenly host being brought symbolically in his vision to God and his throne, he hears myriads of people and angels praising God, Alleluia, the Lord our God, the Almighty, he reigns, and they're rejoicing and exulting and giving him glory. And an angel says to John, write this down. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. But John, taken as he is, with this scene of beauty, unlike anything he's ever experienced, instead of doing what the angel commands, he falls down on his face and begins to worship the angel. And the angelic being grabs him up and says, you shall not worship me. I'm just a fellow servant. This is the response people tend to have when they see angels, either abject fear, becoming like they're dead, terror gripping them, or that they immediately get on their knees and begin to worship. And now the heavens break open, and the glory of God is in this meadow, this pasture where the shepherds are. It's unlike anything they've ever seen. And there's an angel of the Lord there, and they're full of fear at his appearance. But the angel assures them. Verse 10, he gives them assurance, telling them about why he's there present, why they have this honor bestowed upon them. And I love this language. Fear not, I bring you gospel. I bring you good news. This announcement that the angel has is the most wondrous thing they've ever heard. I bring you good news of great joy for all people. Good news of great joy for all people. And then the angel's announcement, not taken up with announcements like the births of our babies, their height and weight or color eyes or things of that sort, but instead with the description of who this babe is. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Far from being a mundane explanation, this is marvelous. Today, as a babe is born, one who will be the Savior, who is the Messiah, the Christ, even the Lord. This is an explanation that isn't easily forgotten, that doesn't disappoint. Perhaps as the best evidence for that, we can simply pass over civilizations that have been built, libraries that have been written, and recognize that today, this evening, tomorrow, in every country on earth, people will be celebrating what was explained that day. People will be celebrating Christmas. Over a third of the world, billions of people, profess to follow and believe in this one who is named Jesus, who's called the Savior by the angels. And even in our own land, 95% of Americans have been and are and will today and tomorrow celebrate Christmas. Everyone's hanging colored lights on their homes. They brought trees into their houses. There are presents galore. They're eating rich foods, great desserts, specialty candy. They're kissing under mistletoes, right? They're full of great joy with the explanation that this thing that the angels were party to, that the shepherds observed, that it changes the world forever. This is simply no baby. This is a coming. This is an advent. In this little one, mysteriously, God has entered into human history. God is the Savior of his people. And now, in this one, he's coming to do something, to rescue, to redeem. A Savior is born today, one who is the Christ, one who is the Lord. Christ is that Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah, or anointed. This is what the kings of Israel were called. And all of the Bible's forward-looking message was centered, was focused on this one Christ, a Messiah, a person who would come, who would occupy the throne of David, who would be heir to all of God's promises, his covenant to David, that through this king, God would subdue the world. He would bring peace. His blessing would overtake curse. This is the locus, the center of what all that God was doing, that God's people looked forward to from ages and scores long ago. And now we're told that this one, however ruined and concealed David's royal lineage now was, subject to foreign oppressors, this one was heir to the throne. He was the Messiah, the Christ, the coming one that would be the Savior, that he would bring God's rule. He would be the Lord. He would bring about God's kingdom, restoration of the world. So the angels announced that this is no mundane thing. Their explanation is that this is marvelous. It is wondrous. It's what God has planned from of old to redeem the world. And things will never again be the same. So there is cause for celebration. How do the shepherds respond? Well, immediately they leave behind all of their responsibilities, as they ought to have, right? And they rush into the city of Bethlehem, the city of David, and they find this little babe. And it says that, as Luke records it, they are full of wonder. And they respond by explaining all these things they've heard from the angelic host, the marvelous explanation for these ordinary events that have taken place. And everyone who hears these things, they respond by glorifying God, by praising God in their hearts, and also likewise by being filled with wonder. What does it look like to have faith at Christmas time? It's to wonder. Our response to these incredible things that have taken place now that we celebrate and remember, our response is to be full of wonder and to delight. Good news for all people. Great joy. Be full of wonder this season. The second part is like it. It's to worship. This is what those who heard the earliest birth announcement of Jesus began to do, glorifying God, praising God. This is what the heavenly chorus of angels does. All of a sudden, it's no longer one angel of the Lord. It's presumably hundreds of thousands of angels. And they break into song, delighting in what God has done, singing, In excelsis Deo, glory to God in the highest. They can't help but to sing Jesus' praise. And this is what we do at Christmas, right? We sing carols. We sing new songs about God's triumph and victory in Jesus. We're full of wonder, and we remember what he has done and celebrate it. My friends, this day, you've already begun that assembling together to worship Jesus, to take time to put the first thing first, to remember that God is deserving of your praise. As you go about your celebration of Christmas, be full of wonder. Rejoice. Remember this good news for all people of great joy. Continue your worship of God. Celebrate with your family. Exchange presents, remembering the gift of God in Jesus Christ. What good news indeed this is. Would you stand with me? We'll pray together. Our Lord and our God, as we have been remembering and pondering anew of this old story about Jesus Christ, how he was born, a babe and yet the Lord. Would you be at work within us by your Holy Spirit as we submit ourselves to your word? Awaken joy. Renew us with wonder. Let us remember the good things that you have done for us because of your great love in Jesus the Christ. And God, might our celebration of Jesus' birth, might it be an occasion where not only we are full of joy, but where you are glorified and honored in our families, in our midst, even here and now in our worship. as the angels proclaimed, you have filled us with great joy with your good news for all people. Be honored, we ask, praying it even in Jesus' name. Amen.